For this morning's sermon, I'll be assuming the persona of a fictional character, just to prepare you for that. Nevertheless, the sermon is inspired by the quilting blog posts of Corey Salm Blystone, as well as the quilt of Rosalind Atwood. You see one of them on the cover of your bulletin. And now for the second scripture reading. It comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my rabbi, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to Abba God, but go to the sisters and brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Abba and your Abba, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the teacher," and she told them that he had said these things to her. There ends the scripture reading. Good morning, First Congregational of Piney Hollow. Because I went skiing this past weekend and didn't have time to write a sermon, I thought I would read to you this fascinating article that I read this morning at IHOP. In the weekend section of the Piney Hollow Gazette, the cover story is entitled "The Resurrection Quilting Club, Where Quilts Are Made and Hearts Are Mended." It's an article about a quilting club at that other church in town that everyone's going to. Let me just read the article to you. Sandra Snyder needed a grief support group, but as a shy person, she couldn't bear the idea of sitting among a group of strangers talking about her most personal experiences of heartache. She told her pastor, James Stevens, about her problem, and he encouraged her to think outside of the box. What's an activity that you could do that isn't about talking but could create a community of support for you? Asked Stevens. That question gave Sandra the first of many aha moments. Sandra loved to quilt. She would form a quilting club. The quilting club she had in mind, however, would be different than other clubs. Every quilt made would be in memory of a loved one who had died. Sandra credits the success of the group to this single requirement. She explains, "For those of us who are on the quiet side, it's not intimidating to think about making a quilt in memory of someone. At the same time, it's inevitable that among the friends you'll make in the group, You'll eventually want to share something about the person to whom the quilt is dedicated. Other members of the group agree that the quilting club is a safe space where members feel comfortable sharing. Mindy White says the group gave her just what she needed right when she needed it. She joined the club nearly a year after her mother died. When someone dies, she states, you initially get a lot of support from family and friends, but sometimes the hardest work occurs months later. I didn't want to burden anyone with all of the thoughts and feelings I was having. I also didn't want to be judged for not having gotten over it. That was when one of the friends she walks with each morning told her about the quilting club. She recalls not knowing what to expect at first, but after attending a couple of times, she realized that she had found the right group. She relates, for me, the club is like a warm quilt. I go there and I feel surrounded by love. Even some unlikely members have found a home in this group. Rod McMichael is one of three men in the club. He confides that he is amazed at how the men in the group open up. He declares, I'm surprised we're even there. I'm more surprised that we talk. But the truth of the matter is that we all need this. We all have lost loved ones who mean a lot to us, and it doesn't work to just sit around watching TV at home. Healing takes more than that. Before the quilting club, McMichael had never sewed a stitch in his life. My wife did all the sewing in our household, he confesses. I was a stereotypical husband doing all the handyman jobs while she did the cooking, sewing, and ironing. The one thing we did together was garden. It took McMichael a year and a half to finish a quilt dedicated to his wife, Marjorie. The quilt is a collage of flowers. The outer edges consist of fabrics with rose prints on them, while the center has yellow and brown squares that form a giant sunflower. Both of us love the flowers in our garden, says McMichael. We would always talk about which ones were our favorites. She liked roses, I liked sunflowers. I always said she was the best and brightest sunflower in my life. She brought me sunshine every day. When Sandra first started the group, its name was simply the Quilting Club. That Easter, Sandra, however, had another aha moment. She was reading the scripture about Mary Magdalene finding the tomb empty. Unconsciously, Sandra found herself identifying with Mary. She remembers, I kept thinking about how devastated Mary must have been to have all that grief and then to believe that someone had stolen Jesus. She was beside herself and not knowing what to do. Sandra says that she felt at a complete loss when her son Luke died as a soldier in Iraq. She began questioning her faith and even the existence of God. Sandra believes Mary would have experienced something similar, only worse. I figured Mary must have had a real faith crisis, says Sandra. What else could have happened when the person you believed was your Savior dies? Sandra says she's not a biblical scholar or a theologian, so she can't say what really happened after Jesus died. Still, she believes that whatever happened, the Spirit of Jesus continued to live among his followers. When someone dies, says Sandra, it can be hard to find meaning in life again, but the disciples did find meaning, and that meaning was in being the living Christ to others and to each other. In reflecting upon this, Sandra realized what one of the main purposes of the quilting group was. She asserts the people who come to our group are trying to find meaning in their lives again. And they're doing it one piece of fabric at a time. Our group is helping each other find life after death. That's why we're the Resurrection Quilting Club. Sandra's latest quilt reflects the name of the group. The name of the quilt is the Resurrection Cross. The quilt is filled with fabrics that have floral prints. At the center is a cross made with squares of vibrant red flowers. In the background, bright orange color suggests the sun is rising. Sandra says she was inspired by the crosses she sees in Mexico with flowers painted on them. She believes such crosses are a fitting symbol for their club. She explains the cross reminds us of death, and yet the flowers remind us of the beauty that is still present in the world. In our group, we are all very aware of the cross, but by learning to quilt, we begin to see the beauty of life again as well. This Easter, the church is celebrating the quilts made by the club. They'll be displayed on the altar. Reverend Stephen says, the Resurrection Quilting Club represents the best of this church. They show how a community of caring people can make a big difference during even the worst moments of life. They have truly brought a spirit of resurrection into our church. For Sandra, this Easter will be a time to reflect on how much the club has impacted her life since she first began it. She says that she still identifies with the Mary in the scripture, but it's not the Mary who was initially distraught and confused. It's the Mary who has seen the resurrected Jesus and wants to share her experience with others. She now calls the quilting club her number one ministry. She observes, through the club, I feel the spirit of Jesus coming alive in what we do. Each time we meet, I never cease to be touched by the power of our care for each other. For Sandra, this will be an Easter full of meaning and joy. And so, my friends here at First Congregational at Piney Hollow, my hope is that in this church, you too have experienced the spirit of resurrection, and you too will have reason to rejoice this Easter. Amen.